This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and our candidate profiles continue here. Welcoming back District Attorney candidate for Essex County, Paul Tucker, State Representative from Salem. Paul, welcome. Welcome back.
Thank you, Bill. Always a pleasure to be here. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, I guess we're coming right down to it. As folks know, the key election date is September 6th. That's the Democratic primary. No Republican candidates. So it's like crushing November right to early September for voters that may not realize all that, as we've talked about before. But, you know, as we come to the campaign, any thoughts from you on what's happened so far in this campaign for District Attorney, Essex County District Attorney?
Yeah, it's been a great experience for me, Bill. I've been at this now a little over 8 months. I started the second week of January and been in all 34 cities and towns, made some great new friends all across the county, talking about issues, hearing what's important to people, and really kind of it's the best at retail politics, I think. It's meeting people where they are, sometimes in large groups, sometimes in small, but it's been great.
All right, let's get to a couple of specific questions. What do you see, or how do you see the role of district attorney, again, Essex County District Attorney, and how that office interacts, or how you would interact with Essex County residents and so on?
Yeah, the job itself, Bill, the DA is the chief law enforcement officer of the county, which is exactly my background, having been a police chief in Salem. But it really has to do with a lot of community involvement as well. I think it's a bit of a mistake for people to think that the job of the DA is simply to secure convictions and have people locked away. That's far from it. I see the role of the DA as increasingly preventative, to try to keep people out of the system, to make sure that we have programs in place, whether they're diversion programs, whether they're some type of juvenile programs, after-school programs. To me, a lot of this is community-based, and it's what I did in my years on the police department. We ran so many community programs. It's things I've been involved in at the State House. The DA really is a community office. Now, certainly there are times when the focus has to be prosecution, particularly when somebody does something that there has to be a consequence to. I've been using the example of trafficking and fentanyl. Fentanyl is the substance that's been taking so many people's lives. We lost almost 2,300 people last year in the Commonwealth. So to me, it's really knowing the difference between somebody who's in the grip of addiction, somebody who's trying to get into recovery and helping them succeed, and somebody that's trafficking in fentanyl and heroin and these substances that have caused so much misery. But at the end of the day, Bill, it's about trying to keep people out of the system, trying to give people a second chance where they deserve it, and that's a lot of the work that I've done.
You know, I know the League of Women Voters ran a forum last week, which was pretty informative. I thought they did a nice job. And let me throw some terms at you and have you react to them. There's no bail, there's low bail, and then better court outcomes. In other words, seeking better outcomes from the court system. Elaborate on that, if you could, for us.
Yeah, a couple of things, though. Let me take the cash bail first. Cash bail, for as long as anybody can remember, has been really used only to ensure that somebody returns to court. And the idea is that the longer the sentence that's in play, the more serious the crime, it follows that it may be possible that somebody may want to skip court and take off. So the system says, well, if they put up a certain amount of money, that they don't want to lose it, so they'll come back to court. What's happened and has evolved in fairly recent times has been this idea of holding somebody if they're dangerous. And there's been a lot of discussion about it. Governor Baker was trying to increase some of the penalties that you could hold somebody under this dangerousness hearing. And what we're talking about here, Bill, is the most serious crimes. It's the armed robberies. It's the serious sexual assaults. It's domestic violence where strangulation has occurred. Multiple OUIs or drunk driving. This is where the public needs to be protected. And it's a balance. And it really has to boil down to good discretion on the part of the assistant DAs who are making these decisions. So there is a lot of discussion around this. People have gone to trying to find more or less restrictive ways to try to keep people in the community, but also while keeping public safety at the forefront. What I mean by that is somebody may have a curfew. They may be put on a bracelet program with some exclusion zones. It's a really difficult job for a judge to decide. They have no crystal ball, so it's really difficult for them to decide who should be released and under what conditions. And the bottom line on the DA's office side is to make sure that that discretion is used appropriately and fairly.
All right, let me throw another one out at you. Better outcomes without the courts. So you mentioned the role of the DA as the lead law enforcement authority, if you will, in Essex County. So, you know, what about that? Better outcomes without involving the court.
Yeah, and that's really, I think we could break some new ground there as well. So what most people may be familiar with, though, in this area is the juvenile diversion. It's when somebody, a young person, makes a mistake, they do something that they shouldn't have. We don't want people to enter the system and end up with a record, something that follows them into housing and jobs or trying to join the military. If there's an opportunity for a young offender to kind of have to be part of the program, go into juvenile diversion, oftentimes those are much better outcomes, because this we know. When somebody enters the criminal justice system at a young age, chances are they will be repetitive, that they will keep coming back into the system. The longer that we can keep someone out, the better outcomes. I talked a lot about this. I was a statewide co-chair on juvenile and adolescent crime a few terms ago. There are some things that I think that we could really make some strong investments in. Things like restorative justice, making sure that people know that there has to be some type of a consequence to their behavior, but have it be far short of bringing them into the court system. I think we can do a really good job with this, and somebody that knows quite a bit about this told me that there's better outcomes for offenders, there's better outcomes for society. If we can take care of these folks and make sure that the public is served, public safety is served, and frankly make sure that any victims are served, if we can keep the offender out of jail the longer we can, we know the outcomes will be better.
All right, Paul, what changes would you make in the district attorney's office? Now, current DA John Blodgett has endorsed you, but you've also noted, I think, that you'd make some changes. What specific changes might you make in the DA's office?
Well, I think the best predictor of the future is what you've done in the past, Bill. When I took over the police department in 2009, Bob St. Pierre had been chief for 25 years, built a strong department, and we carried that on. But like anything else, things evolve, things change. What I would be looking at is a lot of the involvement around how we handle juveniles. I've had a lot of involvement in working on juvenile crime issues. There are, frankly, some states and some countries that are doing some cutting-edge things, some evidence-based programs. Those are some of the things I would look at. I also want to make sure that folks that have mental health issues and substance use disorder and many times dual diagnosis, folks that are struggling with both, we need to do something with these folks to better outcomes for them, not simply a punishment-based system that we did for far too long. We missed the rehabilitation piece. We missed treatment in this country for a long time. The longer that we can get these folks services, again, we're keeping them out of the criminal justice system. And lastly, I would use my experience at the legislature, serving on the Ways and Means Committee for 6 years, the Budget Committee, to make sure the DA's office has the resources they need, and honestly, to make sure that we're paying our assistant DAs a fair compensation. And what I've been telling folks as well, I consider myself to be a very, very fair and just person. I fought at the State House to actually increase the hourly compensation for our public defenders as well. I've worked very hard on that, and the public defense folks, they deserve a fair wage as well. When we have a good, robust system, I think the public is the beneficiary of it. When somebody is accused of a crime, they deserve good, strong, robust representation. And the folks that are representing them, they deserve the best compensation as well, as does our ADAs.
Well, we're talking with Paul Tucker. Paul, the final closing comment from you. I don't have a specific question, but anything else you want to share with our listeners as we come so close to September 6th and primary election day?
Yeah, just a few things, Bill, if I may. I just ask people to consider the breadth of my experience. I worked on over 1,000 cases with the DA's office closely, from arrest to verdict. I was on the DA's domestic violence team. I've investigated every type of crime, from minor crimes all the way to homicide. I've been very, very blessed in my career. I've had a legislative career working on all the issues of the day, criminal justice, police reform, I've worked with the Black and Latino Legislative Caucus. I teach them in my 21st year at Salem State. I teach criminal law, and I've been very blessed to have the endorsements in the last couple of weeks of some major, major folks. Mara Healy, John Blodgett, former DA Kevin Burke. I just got the unanimous endorsement of the Essex County Chief, the Massachusetts State Police, and almost every local leader in Essex County. And I really think that that speaks to my collaborative efforts and working together. I appreciate it, Bill. And the last thing I would say is just make sure folks vote. The election day is the day after Labor Day, so we want to make sure that people know that and they get out. There's a few races that are going to be decided on September 6th, and one of those is mine. And I would appreciate everyone's support.
You know, Paul, I'm going to do a little aside on you here, as I'm known to do. But, you know, as a legislator, I know the primary is backdated off from the November election. But it's too bad our primary election isn't like 1 week later, the second Tuesday in September. You know what I'm saying?
I do. And I know Secretary Galvin did the best that he could to try to accommodate folks. The issue they ran into is the general election is set by law.
Right.
And then I know Secretary Galvin has to backdate it because we need to make sure that we get out overseas ballots, folks serving in the military, and to make sure that every vote is counted. This was the only date that they could make work. But I understand exactly what you're saying, Bill.
No, and I understand exactly what you're saying. It's just too bad something can't be changed a little bit or whatever. You know what I'm saying. But anyways,
yeah.
Paul, thanks so much for your time, and hopefully we can talk again soon.
Excellent. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it, and thanks to all your listeners.
Yep. There is candidate Paul Tucker for Essex County District Attorney. I'm Bill Newell here on MSONewsSports.com.